Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, Chris.
How's it going, Dan?
Good.
Good.
Welcome, everyone, to another bank marketing show. This should be a good one. I know I've been getting, I get a lot of questions about this topic all the time. And we've got a great guest on here today to get into the details of SEO, but I don't want to steal all the thunder.
No, that's good. Well, you know, we know, Dan, that this is one of the most questioned and maybe misunderstood topic areas inside of marketing, and is really tough for folks that don't do it all day, every day, to really understand what is search engine optimization. What are you even doing? Well, most of our listeners are going to understand we're improving your rankings and your engagement through the organic parts of search engines. That's I guess the essence of what SEO is. So yeah, Dan, like you, I'm really excited about our guest today and having Ben Walsh with us to help explain a lot of that. So I'll introduce you a little bit, but Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey guys. Hi Dan. Hi Chris. How are you guys?
All right. Great. Yeah. So Ben and I, gosh, we've been working together, I don't know how long, many, many years.
So I've been in business over 10 years.
Yeah.
And you were pretty close to the beginning. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's definitely over 5 years, six. It's,
oh, yeah.
Might even be closer to 10. Yeah. So yeah, you're one of my, we've been working together a long, long time.
Yeah, man, yeah. How it's grown and changed. But that's a good way to frame that up and introduce you, Ben, because I know you are an SEO veteran and leader. You and your team work with, certainly with banks and with lots of other businesses across the U.S. Yeah. And even in other areas in the world. And yeah. Really focused on local businesses, which certainly banks and credit unions qualify, you know, are not necessarily trying to sell their products and services all over the country. Community banks and credit unions are not. So doing SEO work, and I know that's a whole wheelbarrow full of things that we're going to unpack some today. Yes. And that's what I'm excited about for our listeners, is having some conversation, and Ben, you giving our listeners some insight into what are the big rocks in the jar? What are the important things that are SEO? What are the kind of the focus areas? Anyway, I'm really excited about how this can, I think this is going to educate and help our listeners a lot with a better understanding of what SEO is, what it is that they need to be doing, what are the kind of things that they probably need to get outside help with, you know, those kind of things. So Ben, really, really great to have you with us today.
No, I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan, maybe we can start, Ben, with this, because before we started on the recording today, the three of us were almost kind of joking and having water cooler conversation, if you will, about what SEO used to be and what it is today, and that what it was 5 years ago is nothing what doing it successfully looks like today. So Ben, kind of how have you seen it evolve, you know, over recent years, kind of to where it is today?
So what it used to be was easier, as far as I can tell. It used to, you know, it used to be just If we're going back, I suppose it depends how far you go back, because the level of change that you see isn't incremental. There's been massive changes from 10 years ago to 5 years ago to 2 years ago, even within last year. The Google do regular algorithm updates every 3 to 4 months. So you can look on charts for things that were important sort of in 2015, in specifically local SEO. So one thing just to clarify is that we don't just do the traditional organic SEO. Local SEO is organic plus the other areas. So you will be talking things like citations and the Google Business Profile. The Google Business Profile is Google's free listing. Is also responsible in most cases for most local businesses for 85% of the leads that they'll get. Obviously, it differs from industry to industry, but it's not going to be us just ranking purely on on what we do on the website.
I think there's an interesting clarification there. I get a lot of questions. I always get a question of, why does the profile matter? Isn't it about our rankings, right? And I always explain to banks specifically, look, like if you're searching for a bank and you're sitting across the street from your branch, like your search results are going to be different than if you're a mile away.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And also, I mean, and it's not even, there's also differences in the type of keyword as well. So you have something called implicit keywords and explicit keywords. So if you type in bank loan, the way that Google calculates the rankings and where you can rank is completely different if you typed in bank loan plus city, which is called an explicit keyword. That's the keyword plus the modifier on the end, the area, the city or whatever. So you're triggering two different types of a search engine when you do that. So there's so many things that go into how Google calculates different types of keywords that an overall approach is required. You can't just focus on the website or one thing or another. It has to be a comprehensive push forward in all the key areas.
Yeah, I think too. Another thing, a lot of banks don't think about. People don't, especially in banking, where buying a product could take you weeks or months. People don't just, it's not a linear thing where people go search, click to a website, fill out a form, right? You're doing 10 different searches all within a few minutes. You pause your search one day, you search from your office, you search from home, like everything's changing. And so I think, the bigger perspective is like SEO is really about having your bank be more of that, more of that conversation and more of those searches. It's not just rank well for searches near the bank or searches for bank loan. It's, there's 30 other keywords and all the, lots of different variations.
Yeah, yeah. So there was an example that I heard once about why Google does that. Why is it that the most important ranking factor for ranking the three pack, the box with the three listings is... The reason it's important is because for some industry, it makes a lot of sense. So for instance, if you're a pizza shop and your shop showed up number one and you're all the way across town, by the time they get the pizza to you, it's going to be cold. So it makes sense in certain industries. For some industries, it doesn't. So for instance, if you wanted a personal injury attorney, you want the best personal injury attorney. You don't want the closest personal injury attorney. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So Google's trying to figure this out with an algorithm, and it doesn't meet. It's the best way they can find to calculate things. But everybody's lumped in with the same algorithm.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I'll say too, like if you haven't Googled your bank lately, do that, and you'll see. You do that try a couple different keywords. Try from home. Try from the branch. Like you'll see those listings change and see all the places. That you can show up. Like your profile will show up sometimes. That kind of three pack of listings will show up. Sometimes it's fully dynamic. Yeah, well, it's
the same thing as well, isn't it? Because you don't want the nearest bank. You want a good, honest, truthful, a good bank.
You might only be willing to travel a half mile for a cup of coffee, but better bank, you'll go a couple more miles.
You know, or, it's also sometimes about, Ben, on our show here, we talk a lot about, what are your specializations as a bank? What are your differentiators from the bank down the street? What are your key things? So it may be about, someone that's looking for a home loan or a mobile home loan or a, specific something, or a credit card or whatever that may be. So even under the umbrella of what banking is about, even the deliverables are there too. So yeah, Dan, to your point, I mean, from new bank clients of ours, we'll hear a comment like, well, our CEO was drinking coffee at home Saturday morning. He Googled our bank and we came up on page two. So we need you guys to fix that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, great. This is a running start of a whole multitude and bucket of things. This is not pushing a button and your bank ranks number one in your area, right? So,
And again, it comes down to the keywords. And so it depends, like the first thing I ask is what did they type in? Because if you type in bank, just the word bank or community bank, then the main driving force is where is location. If you type in community bank plus city, let's say Chicago or whatever, community bank plus Jackson, then you will get a bigger range of area that you're able to be visible in. So that completely changes the way they view things, because to the client they're going to think, community bank and community bank Jackson MS are the same thing. They are not the same thing. So there's a lot of variables to unpack when a client is trying to understand how the algorithm works, and it usually isn't what they think it is.
No. Yeah. Well, let's get into that a little bit. Like, can you talk a little about the biggest kind of ranking factors that a bank should think about? About a billion of them, but
So the number one thing you need to be thinking about as a bank is, if it's a local bank, you want to be thinking about your Google Maps listing. So that would be where the lowest hanging fruit is. So the number one ranking factor on a Google Business Profile is the categories, because there are other things you can do, but you're not necessarily going to change. Like, for instance, with the business name, having keywords in a business name helps you to rank. But if you're a bank, you're probably not going to do that, because you're a big institutional type thing. Whereas if you're a plumber and you add in keywords, it's usually quite easy to make that transition. So for banks, I would focus on getting all the categories, and there's usually a lot more categories that you can select to put into your Google Business Profile that haven't been considered. If you have those categories in, you will automatically get a ranking bump in those specific areas. So for instance, let's have a look at what some of the...
So like including things that maybe are not primary, but like retirement or... those kind of things, instead of just checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, getting into some of the other categories as well, right, Ben?
A lot of banks will select like retail bank, but then forget ATM or loan service, right? Is that?
So just to clarify, the categories are pre-populated by Google. So right. Google has a massive list of categories that a potential business can rank for. Yeah, so some businesses have lots of categories that they can rank for. So for instance, attorneys may have lots of, it's not just going to be attorney, it's going to be personal injury attorney, it's going to be family law. You can get, they've broken down those categories within that vertical. When it comes to the banking clients, you've got things like bank would be your main category. Yeah, even if you're a community bank, bank is the only category that it has, and that would cover both community banks and traditional banks. Yeah, an ATM would be another category. You can have saving bank. So if you've already got, if you do a savings component to any of your products or services, saving bank would be something that's semantically related. Investment bank, if you do investments, financial institution, which we see a lot of the bigger banks are doing, but it still translates very well. Business banking services, car finance, even car finance and loan company. Now, that's not directly related to a bank. However, Google has preferences on the types of businesses it will show for certain products and services. So you can add all of those in, you can add up to 10 categories. And even if they're not directly related, or they might just be semantically related, they can just adding those in can give you an impact on things that are related to your business.
Great.
So yeah. Now, as an example of that, so if we looked at, for instance, loans, yeah, but in terms of loans and the things that Google wants to put in front of the end user in terms of businesses that it wants to rank, normally it would choose a business that specializes in loans. It's very rare that you see a bank ranking for just personal loans. If they try and compete with a dedicated loan service, the category that's used that we see a lot of is loan agency. So there's two things that a bank could do at that point. They could either choose the loan agency category and give themselves that advantage, or they would have to decide whether that doesn't meet their criteria for what is relevant
their business
for the
model,
brand.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be a case of do they want to rank higher for that by adding in that category, even though it's not exactly related, or do they want to stay on brand? You know, now what we tend to do to rather than trying to compete with say loan agencies is we would make it more specific to the bank. So we would target keywords things like bank loans rather than personal loans, or personal bank loan. So what you get then is you get less competition. You're being very specific, so Google will actually acknowledge it and rank you for all those particular keywords, and they convert much better because they're specifically looking for a bank loan. So the volume won't be as much, but the conversions will be higher.
So you mentioned Google Maps, categories. What are some of the other kind of the initial and the key ones to look at?
Yeah. So yeah, categories is the number one. So if you don't have the right category, you will not rank. So we do see if you're if you're a bank and your main category is financial institution and everybody else says bank, you're not ranking for any banking key terms. So that genuinely is the most important thing for a bank. So other things to do with I would start with the Google business profile. Yeah, that's the easiest thing to get started on. It's the easiest thing for the banks and their staff to be involved with as well. If you could just nail the categories, getting reviews, and also a new ranking factor, which is the Google business profile services. So for every category, you can now add in additional, more specific Google business profile services. So for instance, if you are looking at, let's say, investment bank, you can add in nested under that, all the different types of investments that you do. Now, up until late last year, autumn last year, you were able to add those in, and it didn't have a ranking impact. Now, if you add those in and you put in the long tail phrases and you're much more specific about what's within that category and you add those in, you can be visible for those, and you can add in hundreds. So the possibility is that you'll be able to add in hundreds of subcategories and be able to rank for a much broader spectrum of different keywords. Obviously, very, very low volume. But the compounding effect of that is something that's to be examined and really pushed forward, in my opinion. Yeah. So the subcategories, the categories, the services, reviews, and also the other thing I don't see any banks doing is images. I don't know why it is, but there was a recent study. I think it was a few months back about the impact of images on a Google Business Profile, having at least 100 images. Now, 100 images does sound quite a lot, but there's many different types of relevant images that you can take. And they were talking about, I think it was a 10x in calls and click-throughs people going through to the business. Now, obviously, there's going to change. It's going to differ from industry. But it just shows you the impact that images has and being engaged with that listing, because that's what Google wants. It wants you to engage with the listing more than it does the website, because they control that entity, you know? Yeah. So yeah, that would be something that would be the first thing that you would do. And then you would go to the website and you would make sure that everything is categorized properly on your website.
Well, so Ben, while you're still talking about, because we've got on page and off page, is just kind of general ways to break up the discussion. So much of what you're talking about is off page and in Google Business Profile and all that. Let's not skip over talking further about reviews, because Dan's team and mine both work with many of our bank clients on reviews, and there's a lot of fear there for, you know, especially smaller banks and credit unions of getting bad reviews. We don't want to just put those things out on our, you know, a link to it out on our social or links out, you know, or email out drip campaigns for reviews. And especially for some of these smaller banks. So talk about maybe strategies and importance. And, you know, we explained to them that, you know, but better to get newer and quality rather than quantity. So for this category of businesses. So can you talk about that a little further?
Yeah, 100%. So in the case of banks, it really is a risk reward type thing, because if just by looking at, you know, different banks in different locations over years and years, nobody's doing it right. Like, it very, very rarely do you see a bank with like a good score and they've got lots and lots of reviews, like 30, 40, 50 reviews. You just don't see it. It's mainly for the smaller banks. Like the fear that you say with the fear, they don't want to ask for reviews. Well, there's nothing to, if you don't do that, there's nothing to offset the bad reviews. And if you do get a bad review, that's the only thing that they're going to see.
I think that's a great way to frame it, of saying, you know, it's about getting more reviews coming in consistently, right? And then when you're going to get a bad review, everybody has bad reviews. Everything on Google has bad reviews. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen, frankly, whether or not you're going out and getting reviews or not, because people can still leave a review even if you're not trying to get more reviews. So if you create a process, if you create an environment by which you're kind of continually asking for reviews, you're gonna get a couple a month, and if you do get a bad one, when you do get a bad one, it's gonna sort of be diluted out. And maybe you could talk about a little bit, like, I think it's about how you manage the review. I mean, you're gonna get bad. Everybody's got bad reviews, right? And so it's kind of about how you manage it. Do you ignore it, or do you respond, you know, publicly in that review thing and say, you know, hey Bob, sorry this happened. Like, call the bank and we'll make it right. And it's an opportunity. You know, bad reviews can be an opportunity to show your customer service.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So there was I think Google did a study, and the sentiment was that people don't trust 5-star reviews. Like I think it's probably a healthy thing. You know, it's, you know, a nice dose of skepticism. It's that too good to be true type thing. So if you can hover around a 4.7 to a 4.9 score out of five, that's the sweet spot. because people know that nobody's perfect. And if you are perfect, then, you know, that raises an eyebrow as well.
No, I read something too around that of people just have an innate filter of, you know, and I think the same thing holds true, right? Of the one star reviews of like, well, this person is, you know, off the rocker or whatever. nicely, but I usually tell my clients like the Grand Canyon has one star reviews because somebody's complaining literally somebody on there complaining about how far the parking lot is from the rim of the canyon. And it's
like, I'm not going now.
You know, you're gonna get them. It's just how do you manage against it? And then I think if you're reading that review, you're like, well, this person is just they're not thinking of the big picture. And I think the same thing happens with bank reviews. And clearly every bank, every airline, every, you know, company has its, you know, bad things, but are you responding to it? Are you diluting it with enough good ones that are coming in?
And then this is the problem. Nobody's responding. You've got a bit like, if you were looking on Amazon out of 5 stars and you saw a product for two, you know, that was a two star product. Are you going to buy it? So this is how important reviews are, because we can do everything right on our end in terms of the SEO, yeah. And that business and that Google business profile can appear online, and you can go to it, and you can rank for the best keywords and all that stuff. As soon as they see a two star review, and they've seen numerous ones, just negative reviews over years, because they haven't been keeping up with it and they haven't been asking for reviews for years and years and years. That's the only reference point they've got.
Yeah.
And the statistics on it are startling. Like the number of people that will reference and take note of what's being said in a review is very, very high. Because this is first contact. They don't have, particularly if it's online, if they're researching online and it's not a personal referral, the next best thing is a review, isn't it?
Ben, you know, we've got one of our Louisiana bank clients that's a $200-300 million in asset, you know, bank, and they use the review funnel link that we provide, and, you know, QR codes on the desk of their loan officers when they close a loan, they ask. And so these guys do a pretty good job of, you know, on a fairly regular basis, continuing to ask for them. So they've got a pretty steady, and they're asking people when they're happy with the bank. You know, they've just closed a loan, or they've just opened an account, or, you know, they've taken their daughter in and opened a student checking account or something, where of course they're going to give a good review at that point. And then they got a negative review because somebody had, you know, an issue with whatever. It was the drive-through or something like that. And Dan, as you said, they responded to it. So sorry that happened. You know, we come into the bank. We want to, you know, try to help make sure that never happens again, you know, kind of thing. But they had built up 30, 40, maybe 50, you know, good reviews and all of that. And they had that one negative one, and they responded to it and all of that. And man, so you go look at them and they've got a 4.9 whatever. And they've continued to get, you know, and the most recent review was 2 weeks ago, you know, or last week. And, you know, it's a good steady stream. And it's like, man, that's really, really healthy looking.
Yeah.
Both to human beings, but that's also healthy to Google, correct? And that's achievable. We're not trying to get a three branch small town bank to get 500 good reviews. That's not it at all.
No. And it's because of the industry. It's not even like you're in an ultra competitive industry compared to the competition when it comes to reviews. You know, for instance, it might be a personal, you know, personal injury, or it might be, you know, something that's like
restaurants, retail get.
Yeah, restaurants. Yeah,
100%. Thousands of reviews, like, right.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about if you do a mediocre job in an industry where nobody else is doing anything, you become the champion. So, you know, that's I mean, there's so much potential with the banking stuff, and it pains every time I see it. I'm just like, why? Like this location's at 3.7 out of 5, and I'm thinking, if they just got that up to 4.5 or 4.6,
yeah, right, and they got two reviews.
They will get people. They will get people coming through to them.
I just want to point out here too, like, we are so far, right, we're pretty deep into this. We're not talking about super technical stuff. We're not talking about hiring, you know, an SEO agency to do all this stuff for you. It's select your categories, get reviews, you know, and we'll tell our banks, like, get the link to your Google review, print it, get a QR code made of it, print it on a business card, and you're stapling it to loan closings. You're handing it out at the teller windows, little things. Yeah. And, you know, you'll start to get it. But these are all things you can do now. You don't need any sort of special skill. You just need access to, like, the Google business profile.
Yeah, 100%. Somebody, yeah. If they just interacted more with that Google business profile, it would 10x the game. Yeah. It really would. Because, I mean, companies like us who do the technical stuff on the back end, we can handle that. The unfortunate thing for the business owner is it's no longer like we were saying earlier, it's no longer just a bunch of guys in a room doing the SEO. You know, it's a collaborative effort. So it doesn't matter what we do on our end with our team. If it's not matched with the interaction from the banks, the whole thing falls apart. You know, it doesn't all fall apart. But if, for instance, we've got all the locations that are a one-star review, it doesn't matter what we do. You know, it doesn't matter how much we're doing a good job on our end. You know, because it all falls apart at the finish line. You know. Yeah.
So yeah. Ben, to kind of flip the conversation page over here, and talk a little bit about on page, you know, yeah. and thinking about this. So this is a little bit more of the IT web development, you know, kind of mindset, and so yep. many bankers think, oh, well, we've got a pretty new website, you know, so our SEO is going to be good. And there's so many factors that go into that. So can you kind of talk to us some about what some of those key things are on the on-page side of speed, some of those kind of things that you could talk about?
All right. So I'd start off by saying, look, if you've got a good-looking website and you don't do SEO properly and you don't structure it properly, it would be like building a restaurant in the forest and telling nobody it's there. It's, you know, the website by itself is only useful when somebody actually lands on the website. The SEO is there to bring people to the website to sell the products and services that they're offering. So the key points for any website is to break everything down properly so that Google fully understands what it is the bank does and what it's trying to rank for. Yeah. Google is a categorization tool. Yeah, it looks at something, it tries to categorize it and give the end user the most relevant result. And it's our job to make that easy for them. Yeah? So what we need to do is every service that the client has and every variation of that. I'm not talking about, so long as it's a definitive service that they offer, It should have a dedicated page. So I'll give you an example. Yeah, if you've got a page with just a list of current accounts, that's not good enough. Yeah, the companies that I've seen and the ones that we've worked on that succeed are the ones that when they break down those into student accounts, into to the different types of accounts that they can offer, and they break those down into individual pages. That means we can target those specifically. For instance, student accounts, we can target that with an entire page, and Google will understand exactly what it is we're trying to get visible for. So,
right. So what that doesn't look like is mentioning HELOC in two bullet points on a loans page. That's not what that looks like. So take HELOC and right?
Dedicated page, Anything that they want, anything that they want to be visible for, any individual service that can be differentiated from the main service. So, you know, I'm not talking about semantically related keywords that are essentially saying the same thing. I'm talking about actual services. So, like you said, RV loans, car loans. So one of them does jet skis. They mentioned jet skis. Mm. That might be a little bit too far. I don't know how many people are looking for jet ski loans online. But anything that can be categorized as its own service or product.
A question I always ask banks, right? What are the top three? What are the top five things that you do? Like, what do you do really well? Everybody sells the same stuff, but what do you do really well? And you know, you'll get different answers, but like, it's a good way to frame that of, well, those five things should probably be their own pages.
Right.
And it may be a little bit more nuanced. It's probably not, it shouldn't be as nuanced as the jet ski, but
agriculture loans or
no,
blocks or...
I had one bank say, like, well, we do this like 0% student loan in certain circumstances. I'm like, it's not on your website at all, let alone, you know, a separate page. But this is a super unique, a super unique thing that should be there. So I'm just trying to give people a way to think about that of like, it's like checking account should have its own page. But, you know, if you've got a super special kind of checking account, I work at the bank now, they've got like a 4% interest checking. Put it on its own page. Like, that's going to stand out. That's different. And you don't want people to have multiple times. You want that to show up, you know, right in the search results.
And it's also going to boost the main page as well. Like, so if you've got your current accounts page, if Google will usually come in through the homepage, because it's the most powerful page on the website, particularly for local businesses, then it will follow the links to the different services that are offered, the different products. If it sees a content cluster in a particular area, it will lend more weight to and lend more weight and authority to that. And what we see time and time again is that if, for instance, we have got the current accounts, they're all broken down into their individual pages, and they're all interlinked and internally linked together, they do much better than any other bank that is just doing a one page listicle type thing. And if it's not on there, you don't rank for it. I mean, that if you just go in with that mindset, if I don't have a page, if I want to rank for something and I don't have a page on my website dedicated to that, I can't expect to be ranking for that particular thing, is the mindset you should have.
Great point. There you go.
Yeah.
Ben, what are some of the other, I guess you could call them technical things? So the individual pages and then, you know, that should be, that need to be in good shape on websites themselves.
Right. So all the service pages need to be there. Location pages as well. Mm. So what we do see a lot of is you'll have one location page with just a list of the different locations that they've got. That's not good enough. You need to have a dedicated location page. What it allows us to do is to optimize for that location. So and then you can also get the you can add content on there, which is again locally optimized and then links back to the main services that they offer as well. Okay. Without that, you're missing key elements to embed you into that local area that you're trying to rank in. So services, location pages. Again, the site speed, again, that will come down to bounce rate and whether or not somebody, you know, clicks on, it's taking too long, they click off again. Those really are the main things for your on page. And also making sure that the home page is the most powerful page. So not just the service pages, but your home page is as optimized as it can be as well. It is tricky with banks because if you were to go full like local SEO, like, you know, as hard as you could, it wouldn't look right on a banking website. So yeah, you have to be very, very careful about how you approach it. But again, because other banks are very, very timid on being aggressive with the SEO, that also lends it lends opportunity to being a bit more aggressive and having big gains from that, because the on-page SEO is still a massive ranking factor. And then other things, so like being able, I mean, even just down to having, making sure that the, I think in most cases now, like the phone numbers, available, you're able to
clickable for mobile.
Click on a button that will allow you to make a call straight away. Just things like that, little tweaks like that can help in terms of conversion. So it's dedicated location pages.
Yeah, and having those Google Maps on those dedicated location pages, right? So again, lots of those things are around being mobile friendly, you know, and that's part of what Google's trying to deliver as well, because so much of utilization is on phones, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, from what I can tell, I think Google's trying to keep you in search, as far as I can tell, and moving towards using a website more, using the website as an API to gather all its data. So where it can, it will keep you in Google search, and where it makes more sense to get more information directly on the website, then that's, you know, Google will then make it easier for you to get on the website. But yeah, I mean, really what they want to do is they want the calls and the, you know, they want the interaction to stay on Google as much as they can. That's why the Google Business Profile for the SEO side is becoming much, much more important. And that's why you also see, you know, the number of local leads being so high versus what you get on the website through just organic SEO.
Yeah. So Ben, let me go to a big picture question with you. While we've got you and still some time, is because for local banks, the greatest competitive issue obviously is competing against the larger regional and national banks. That's the single largest issue that they face. They're also trying to get younger audiences as well and those kind of things. But talk a little bit about how big picture SEO really does make you competitive, you know, with Bank of America and Chase and all of those. So how can a $1.5 billion or $300 million bank, you know, really expect in their markets to be competitive with the big boys?
So the Google Business Profile was originally, it was set up to level the playing field for local businesses. Because if you just went by, you know, trying to outrank somebody, you know, a national business in any field that where they've been doing it for years, nobody would ever be visible online, and your right. business, they don't have the budgets, they don't have the resources to be able to catch up. So that was the whole point of the Google Business Profile in the first place, is to level that playing field. Now, with the banking clients, it is more complicated when it's a national bank. So you can do very well and be successful as a smaller local bank just by doing the basics properly, the things that we discussed. Yeah. So if it's a like for like bank. Yeah, and you're talking, you just did the basics right, you got the pictures on there, you got the reviews, we did the on-page SEO, and it was all, everything was matched up. No problem with the local banks. The way to beat the bigger banks, like if you're talking, you know, the Chases and all this kind of stuff, is to do the things that they're not doing or are too big to handle quickly. So you would beat them by being more nimble, you know. I think we discussed on a previous meeting the idea of Regions Bank. Can we name names? We can name names.
Yeah, sure.
Regions Bank. Yeah. So again, Google's got a likes mortgage lender that dedicated mortgage lenders and mortgage brokers over banks. Now, Regions Bank found a way around this by setting up separate Google Business Profiles and putting them within that bank. Yeah, so there's a a Google Business profile that's set up as a mortgage lender. It's a completely separate entity. They've called the business something different. They've called it Regions Mortgage, and they use those with great effect. Like they absolutely dominate on the mortgage stuff side. And that again, so that's something that they're doing that you know the big companies aren't doing. Okay, but it relies on people at the business, you know, receiving the postcard or doing a video verification and showing some signage and making it look like a mortgage lending department. So there's going to be some interaction needed from the bank side in order to make that happen. The rewards, if they do it, are that nobody else is doing it, and they, you know, they will be able to dominate in that area just by having an additional Google Business profile. You can also do that with the ATMs as well. So if you set up an ATM listing, and there are examples all online of those ranking very well independently, because it's a main category and it's focused, and you can change the business name to business bank plus ATM. And that's enough to rank for that particular thing. Those are the things like that are going to be where you can really make a difference. The big banks are still no good at getting reviews. Mm. So, I mean, you know, that's...
Especially that's locally. Especially...
Especially when, you know, things are going to be more centralized as well. So, I mean, if you can be much more about the community, if you can get lots of images on there, I mean, you know, these local banks, they do a lot in the community. You know, that's all things that we can add onto the Google Business profile, the pictures, the, you know, all that stuff is stuff that can be used that the bigger banks won't necessarily be taking advantage. The only place they can be a more agile local bank is with the power of the website, which is limited, you know. Mm. Because it's only one aspect of the overall tapestry of work that needs to be done. So yeah,
Yeah, those are great.
It is going to be hard. It will be harder to go up against a bigger national bank. That's no mistake. You can't just do the basic stuff. But there's lots of ways you can get around it. And so long as you pick up on the things where they're failing, you'll have results.
Yeah.
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 Well, and again, as marketing agencies, what we know, and we know that all of our listeners are considering this as well, is that it really is a multifaceted approach. So we're running digital ad campaigns and you know, email marketing and doing all these things for our bank clients, and sometimes or often that's resulting in someone going in and doing a search for the bank because delivered a digital display ad to them in a geo, you know, campaign 2 weeks ago. And they're like, what was that? And, you know, boom. And so to me, SEO is so foundational, you know, in supporting the entire marketing strategy. They see it on a billboard. Well, they're not going to stop and write it down. They're not going to pull over to the side of the road, you know, and all that. But they're like, I think that was XYZ Bank, you know, or whatever and Google for, or more ideally, they're going to remember the personality of what it was that they saw, you know, on the billboard that bank was, oh, they fit for me because whatever they do sports company and I'm a sports person or whatever. I'm making that up, but you know, so they're an agricultural lender. And they showed their specialization in that in 2 seconds on a billboard. And I remember that. So then I go Google it. And then boom, there they are. Because they've been the kind of things that you described. And there's a conversion. There's a new customer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And you need more touch points now. Like they you know, marketing's become such a beast of a thing. You know, online where it's everywhere. So, you know, having those touch points and regular contact through various means is critical in order to generate them being comfortable with, you know, what it is, you know, what you are and what you do, you know. So without a doubt, you know, all of those things together are key, are critical to getting the end result. And it will continue, and it will get prominent as we go forward, because there's always going to be more and more marketing, isn't it? It's never going to go down. It's never going to reach the level of marketing is never going to go down. So to be heard in through all the static, you have to have that multifaceted approach, you know. Yeah.
And Dan, I know we see the success rates, you know, with our banks. You know, this is such a significant area.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot, because then, like you're saying, so many banks are just so, bad. You can say bad, but really just not focused on it. And so, you know, it's not about finding somebody that'll spend hours a week, you know, kind of busking for reviews. It's just creating the process where you'll get reviews in. It's making sure you clean up those categories. It's making sure that the specialized services that you want to promote have their own pages. Like, just some simple steps that can make a big difference, and then you can get into the rest of it. But I think that's the biggest thing, is like, so many banks, even the Chases and the Wells Fargos and all those are not great at this at the local level.
Mean, and some of these banks have, I think one of them I saw was from the 1880s. Like, they've been around for a long, long time, you know. These things move slowly, so it's ripe for, particularly on the local level, if you do it, it's ripe for disruption, because nobody seems to be moving fast enough. Now, I don't know whether that's because it's, they've just been able to dominate for so long, you know, and they've been around for so long that, you know, the urgency isn't there.
Yeah.
But if you really decide that you want to dominate a particular market, and you work with a good local SEO company, and you're willing to do the things that you need to do in house, that's a recipe to be able to really do a good job in the local market and get very, very, very visible for the things that are really going to make the money, you know?
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, part of what we love about what you've shared today is these have not been highly technical code level HREFs, all kind of stuff. I mean, this, you know, you've shared some great things that are very doable. We also realize that a lot of smaller banks, still don't have the person power to be able to do some of these things, and need partners and need help and all of that. And that's certainly out there. But these have been some great things that are, Dan, I think you said it earlier, the low hanging fruit things. These are both on page and off page. These are some things that those of us in the industry and bankers can be doing to have success. So that's great. So thanks a lot for that. Yeah.
No, if they could do all the things that they were supposed to do on their end, if they then took on SEO services later, for instance, and they just did these things first, they would be in such a better position than if they didn't do it. You know. So yeah, it's better for everybody. Yeah, right. and it will result in much better results as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ben, with our guests, we always like to do a lightning round. We love for our listeners to get to know more about you and those types of things. So this is a cool part. So you got a second to stick around for that?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Love it.
I'll try my best.
There you go. All right. So can you share a personal best or a business best?
So I'll do both. So my personal best is, I don't know, how did you guys get on in the pandemic? Because I got a little chunky. I got pretty big. So my personal, because I think I only realized when I hit 40 just how unhealthy I was. Mm. And I went on I don't know whether it was a midlife crisis or something, but, you know, I took up boxing, Thai boxing, and my mental acuity now is so much better. But, you know, for just being, you know, getting up in the morning, getting started, getting everything that I need to do during the day, best thing I ever did. That health, your health in terms of being able to do a better job at business, has been game changing for me. Particularly when I don't know if you know anything about England, but we've got terrible food. So I've never eaten healthy until I hit 40. And then that was, you know, and then to make that transition was a big step for me. So that was my personal, on the personal side.
Cool.
Business-wise, the best thing I ever did was realizing that you don't need to rank for everything. So we had a personal injury attorney. This was years ago in Nashville. Yeah. And they couldn't rank for anything. Yeah. So they were trying to rank for personal injury. All the top national players were in there. They were spending hundreds of, they must have been spending like tens of thousands of dollars every month to keep themselves afloat. So we refocused everything to car accidents and truck accidents. And they absolute, just by moving the focus away from personal injury, focusing on their key services, they absolutely dominated. They must have made, well, I dare to think how much they made. They made a lot of money just by making those changes. So what that allowed me to realize is that you don't need to compete in the same way with everybody. Same with the national banks. You can get the results by focusing on what's important to the client, you know, and not trying to compete in the same way with everybody. You know, there's enough pie for everybody. It's just working out what it is that's going to really move the needle the most for each individual client. That was early on. So that was a good lesson for me.
Good. Yeah. Do you have a favorite book or other resource?
Yeah. So, Atomic Habits was a good one. So like incremental gains daily over a long period of time will give you long-term, you know, much better long-term stable results. E-Myth helped me with my systems, making sure that I'm not the business and that I've got systems in place to make sure that things get done even if I'm not there. And then on a personal level, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius is one of my favorites, just because I like the idea of being being able to deal with problems with a level head and being able to think rationally and moving through it without being too affected by emotion. So that was a good book as well.
Those are great.
Yeah.
What comes to mind is the most impactful piece of advice you've received?
I think it comes down to how early you received it. I think that's so. You can go on YouTube now and see 10 times better advice than this piece of advice I'll explain to you. But it was something that my father said. It was when I was young. He said to me, he said, if you want what you've always had, do what you've always done. So, and that, I don't know why that stuck in my mind, but it's always, I've done some really like interesting things that none of my friends have done. Like, the group that I grew up in a small town in the UK where everybody did the same thing. And I'm the only one that ever really did, I left the town, I live the other side of the world. And that was the thing that always stuck out in my mind. Now, it's probably not the best advice, but I got it at a young age. And that's the one that really made the impact.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, flipping that around, what's advice that you give to your team and you give to others?
Well, responsibility. Responsibility. So if we, like, you'll know, we've just been talking about it, no business is perfect. So you apologize when you've done something wrong and you do your best to fix it. And then when somebody's done something right, you appreciate what they've done and you thank them. And I think if you can, whether it's a client or a member of staff, if you can show that level of respect and intent, then you can usually overcome almost any problem, so long as you accept responsibility and try your best to rectify it. So yeah, that's it. It's just appreciation and fixing things when you mess up.
It's a great one. Yeah. Well, Ben, how can people get in touch with you or connect with you maybe on LinkedIn what's a good way to connect with you if people would like?
Yeah, so I mean, if you just type into Google Market Local SEO LLC, that's and then my name, Ben Walsh, that'll bring up my LinkedIn profile, the website. But yeah, cool. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way.
Great.
And yeah, I'd be on LinkedIn. I've been in the background for so long. I'm only just starting. I think this is one of the few podcasts I've ever done. So I mean, it'd be nice to. I need to get plugged into the community a bit more. It sounds like.
Or happy to help start the trend.
Yeah. Hopefully I didn't waffle on too much. So.
No, I think this was great and educational.
Yeah, okay. I think some great stuff for any of the banks out there listening. So I really appreciate you being on. Appreciate your time, and thanks for sharing your all your collective advice.
Yeah, cheers, guys. I appreciate having me on. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.